All right, so welcome to another deep dive.
Always exciting.
Yeah, today we're looking at some excerpts from Dr. John Oswalt's lectures on the Book of Kings.
Okay.
And we're going to be focusing on these two kings, Joash and Jehoahaz.
Interesting.
And their stories kind of unpack this whole idea of a divided heart.
I see.
So basically trying to like walk that line between following God and then maybe giving into some other desires.
Yeah.
You might be surprised how kings, even the ones that started strong,
yeah,
made decisions that ended up shaking their faith and, get this, the well-being of their whole kingdom.
Right. It's like this fascinating paradox, isn't it? You see all this outward piety, good intentions, but underneath sometimes there are struggles and compromises going on. King Joash is a perfect example. Dr. Oswalt points out that, you know, Joash, guided by this priest, Jehoiada,
right,
started off his reign really well, doing what was right in the eyes of the Lord.
Yeah.
He even put a ton of resources into restoring the temple. You know, that's a real sign of a genuine revival happening.
Oh, I could just picture it. Like, huge construction project.
Totally.
Everyone's excited. But wait, there's a twist, right? Didn't you say something about this restored temple being plundered later?
Oh, you're sharp. You're picking up on it. That's exactly where this divided heart thing comes into play.
Okay.
The very same temple that Joash poured all this energy into gets ransacked later in his reign.
Wow.
To pay off an enemy king. It's a pretty stark picture of how even the best intentions can fall apart if they're not built on a solid foundation.
So what happened? Like, how did this promising king make such a huge U-turn?
Well, Dr. Oswalt dives into 2 Chronicles to give us a little more background. And we see this turning point happen after Jehoiada, Joash's mentor, dies.
Oh.
Suddenly, Joash is surrounded by all these officials, all these guys at court, and they're really good at flattery.
Yeah, I can see that happening.
And sadly, he kind of falls for it. You know, Dr. Oswalt uses this simple phrase, he listened to them. But you get this feeling that it's more than just listening. You know, he's craving this approval, this validation, even if it means ditching his core values.
It's almost like our need to be liked and accepted sometimes can override, you know, our deeper convictions.
Exactly. It makes you think, where do we get our sense of worth? Are we rooted in something solid like faith? Or are we letting popular opinion kind of toss us around?
Yeah, it's like that saying, you know, you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything.
Right. Joash's story is a reminder that without that strong core, we're all vulnerable to those tempting voices.
So instead of sticking with his faith, he abandons the very temple he worked so hard to restore.
Right.
And as if that wasn't enough, he even leads his people into idolatry. He's basically saying, okay, let's go worship other gods now. That's a pretty drastic change, don't you think?
Oh, yeah. And it gets even more disturbing. Remember Zechariah, the son of Jehoiada?
Yeah.
So he calls out Joash, you know, confronts him about straying from God's path. We might say he's speaking truth to power today.
I bet Joash wasn't happy about that.
He was not. In fact, he reacts by having Zechariah stoned to death. And guess where?
Oh, no. Where?
Right in the temple courtyard.
Wow.
It makes you think about how far people will go to silence anyone who challenges them, who tries to show them the, you know, the hidden darkness inside.
Right. It's a bit unsettling because if a king can fall that hard, I mean, what does that mean for the rest of us? Are we all susceptible to this divided heart thing, even if our choices don't impact the whole kingdom?
It's a huge question, and it's one Dr. Oswalt tackles as he introduces us to another king who's dealing with a divided heart. Jehoahaz. He ruled the northern kingdom of Israel. His story adds a whole other layer to this idea of trying to, you know, serve 2 masters.
Okay, so let's talk about Jehoahaz then. What makes his divided heart different from Joash's?
Well, here's the interesting part. Well, Jehoahaz's story is really interesting because it seems like, according to Dr. Oswalt, he and his ancestors, they genuinely worshipped Yahweh, you know, the God of Israel, but they also held on to these certain idolatrous practices.
So, like, they were trying to have it both ways, worshipping the God of Israel, but just in case.
Yeah, exactly.
Powering their bases with other gods, too.
Precisely. And that's the core of this divided heart that Dr. Oswalt is talking about. It's like this internal tug of war between following God's way and, you know, clinging to things that pull us away from him. And idolatry in this sense isn't just about statues or idols. It's anything we put before God, you know,
right?
Anything we depend on for security or significance more than we depend on him.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah.
But I'm curious, does God just let Jehoahaz get away with this kind of double dealing?
Well, not really. We see this really fascinating cycle of sin and then repentance going on during his reign.
Okay.
He's under a lot of pressure from the king of Aram, like getting crushed militarily.
Yeah, Aram was like a powerful kingdom in ancient Syria. They were always bumping heads with Israel.
Right, exactly. So in his desperation, Jehoahaz cries out to God for help.
And does God answer? Even though Jehoahaz is still caught up in this whole divided heart thing.
He does. Dr. Oswalt really emphasizes that God, in his mercy, sends a deliverer for Israel, gives them a break from Aram's oppression.
Wow.
But there's a catch, and this is a crucial point. Dr. Oswalt cautions us not to mistake God's grace for approval of our sin, you know.
Oh, that's interesting.
Just because God answers our prayer or, you know, blesses us in some way doesn't mean he's okay with everything we're doing.
Right. It's tempting to think, oh, things are going well, my prayers are being answered, I must be on the right track with God.
Totally.
But that might not always be the case.
Nope, not at all. And that's where the danger of a divided heart becomes really clear. We might experience some temporary relief, even some blessings, but those divided loyalties, they have consequences down the road. It's like trying to walk in two different directions at the same time. You might take a couple of steps, but you're going to trip eventually.
So Dr. Oswalt is drawing this parallel between Joash and Jehoahaz, showing us that this isn't just some ancient Israel problem, you know, this divided heart thing.
Oh, yeah.
It's something we all deal with, even today.
Absolutely. He even asks this challenging question at the end of his lecture. Can we, unlike these kings, be fully devoted to God? You know, totally committed without holding anything back.
That's a tough one.
It is. It forces us to really examine our own loyalties.
It makes you wonder, what are the things that we might be clinging to today that are keeping us from fully experiencing God? Are there habits or, you know, beliefs, desires that have kind of taken root in our hearts and are competing with our commitment to God?
And it's not always those big, obvious sins either. It
Right.
might be the more subtle things like chasing success or popularity or material possessions that slowly chip away at our devotion to God.
And like we've seen with Joash and Jehoahaz, those little compromises, you know, those subtle shifts in our priorities, they can have huge consequences, not just for us, but for the people around us, too.
Absolutely. And that's why this idea of the divided heart is so relevant, even thousands of years later. It's a struggle that goes beyond time and culture.
So we've seen how divided hearts played out in these kings' lives.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't look pretty. But what does Dr. Oswalt suggest we do about it? How do we move from a heart that's torn between different things to a heart that's truly devoted to God? Yeah, it almost sounds like we need a heart transplant, but like, how do we practically go about aligning our hearts with God's will?
Well, Dr. Oswalt points us to his closing prayer, where he really encourages us to do some soul searching.
Yeah.
He challenges us to ask ourselves, is there anything, you know, holding me back from completely surrendering to God? Are there symbols in my life that have become substitutes for really experiencing his presence, his power?
So it's about taking a personal inventory.
Right.
Looking for those areas where we might be holding back, maybe even without realizing it.
Yeah.
And you mentioned that it's not always those big sins that we typically think of. It's often the more subtle things.
Right. Exactly. It could be those seemingly harmless habits, attitudes, desires that have kind of snuck into our hearts and are competing with our love for God. Think about what really motivates you. What are you living for, ultimately?
Yeah.
Those are tough questions. But, you know, being honest about the answers can be that first step towards aligning our hearts with God's will.
It's like we're peeling back the layers of our lives and asking, okay, is this really leading me closer to God or is it distracting me from him?
That's a great way to put it. And it's not a one-time thing either. It's an ongoing process.
Right.
You know, examining our hearts, identifying those areas where we might be compromising, and then taking steps to get back in line with God's purpose for our lives.
So as we wrap up this deep dive into the lives of Joash and Jehoahaz, I'm left with this question. What are those symbols that I might be clinging to? What are the things that, even if they're not bad in themselves, have become more important to me than experiencing God fully in my life? It's a question we all need to wrestle with.
Yeah, I think you've hit the nail on the head. And maybe, just maybe, if we're brave enough to face those areas where our hearts are divided, you know, we can start to experience that wholehearted devotion that leads to true fulfillment and a real impact on the world. I mean, that's what we see in the lives of people who really walked with God throughout history.
Right.
Their stories are a testament to the power of a surrendered heart.
Well, thanks for taking us on this deep dive. It's definitely given me a lot to think about.
You're welcome.
And to our listeners out there, we hope this has given you some food for thought as well. Until next time.